Move on to agenda item 12, Oregon Vesper Sparrow. This is a briefing and public hearing. Mr. Stinson and Taylor Cotton, I guess. Okay, take it away.
You hear me okay? I'm unmuted. Yep. Good morning, Chair Carpenter, Vice Chair Baker, Commissioners, Director Suswin, Deputy Director Windrup. It's good to see you this morning. I'm going to be handing this over to Derek Stinson. First of all, I'm the Conservation Assessment Section Manager in the Wildlife Diversity Division. Derek Stinson is one of the primary authors on this presentation. I'm just going to hand it over to him.
Can I share my screen?
Absolutely.
Okay, good morning. Let's talk about the Oregon Vesper Sparrow.
Hold on, Derek. We don't see a presentation.
You don't see it?
No.
Okay, it may take a minute, I guess.
Make sure to push this share screen button at the bottom.
Let's see.
And then once you select your screen, you do have to click a blue button that says share.
Here.
There you go. Except we have your email, so make sure you switch.
Here. You see it now?
Well, you shared your screen, but we still see your email, so you might want to juxtapose.
Derek, I can try to share if you're having some trouble.
You want to try it, Taylor? Sure.
Yep, that looks good.
Okay, Derek, you can just let me know when you want me to advance slides.
Okay, you can go to the next slide. So the Oregon Vesper Sparrow is a west side subspecies of a widespread grassland sparrow. Historically, it bred from southwestern BC south to northern California. Next slide. In the 19th century, it was said to be fairly abundant or common summer resident of the prairie habitat. Next slide. Their numbers have declined and their range has retracted with the decline in prairie habitats. They have been a state candidate since 1998. In 2018, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service issued a decision that a listing under the Endangered Species Act may be warranted. Next slide. the subspecies is migratory. They are in Washington from April to September. They winter in California. It is a ground nester and they exhibit high site fidelity. Next slide. So in recent decades, there have been extirpations in southwestern British Columbia, on Vashon Island, the Seattle area, the Dungeness area, and there's been just one or two hanging in there in the San Juans with one male detected in 2020. The current population was estimated at fewer than 300, and that is of a range-wide population of fewer than 3,000. The map on the right indicates one of the complexities of surveying them, and that is that the Great Basin subspecies, which nests in the Columbia Basin, some of them migrate up through the Puget Trough in the spring, and then go over the pass in up the Skagit and Sauk rivers to breed in the Columbia Basin. So that has confused some of the historical record. Next slide. So the current population, most of it breeds on Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Next slide. Factors that have been affecting the Oregon Vesper Sparrow, habitat loss, fragmentation, continued development, which is expected to increase. The human population predicted to increase to over 9 million by 2040. Invasives in prairie habitat, particularly scotch broom and some exotic grasses, are an ever-present problem in any open habitats. Next slide. But now, with the population so low, issues that affect the small population may be the most important factors now. That would include a loss of their genetic health and reduced egg hatchability, which has been observed, and overall reduced fitness. Next slide. In addition, because their population is so small, things like predation become more important, particularly predation by subsidized predators like crows and possums. Also disturbance during the breeding season, particularly on joint base by training events. And also another possible factor is the ingestion of treated seeds during migration or on the wintering grounds. These neonicotinoid insecticides, ingestion of just a few seeds by a small passerine like this can have a real negative impact. Next slide. Management activities that have been ongoing include the extensive survey work that was done by Bob Altman with the American Bird Conservancy that made our status review possible, really. And then the prairie preservation and management work done by Center for Natural Lands Management on Joint Base. And the research, concurrent with the research on the street-horned lark by Center for Natural Lands Management and the American Bird Conservancy, both here and in Oregon, have been ongoing. Next slide. The prairie protection and restoration that's been ongoing is very important. There's also now an interagency prescribed fire program that's has ramped up and is maintaining the prairies. The prairie protection work by Center for Natural Lands Management on JBLM and on our lands by us and the county, like at Mima Mounds, have been very important. Next slide. And various partnerships and planning that is has begun or has been underway. Real important joint base, of course, the Center for Natural Lands Management, the regional Cascadia Prairie Oak Partnership, and then the habitat conservation plans under the Endangered Species Act that are in development include Thurston County and the Bush Prairie, which is Tumwater and Port of Olympia, working on an HCP. Next slide. So given the history of decline, the extra patients, the small population size, and their small distribution, their restricted and declining habitat, our recommendation is that they be listed as endangered. Next slide. Recovery actions that are needed. Prairie management that's fairly recently been adapted to accommodate the needs of the Vesper Sparrow. One difference between them and the street corn lark is that they like to have singing perches within their breeding territories, and this can be a fence post or it could be small saplings. The work on joint base has begun to take that into consideration, including the species in HCPs will be important in protecting habitat, and they would be included under priority habitats and species and get more consideration in wildlife area planning. Next slide. During the public comment period, we received six public comments. Five of those supported listing and recovery action, and one did not support spending any time or resources on the species. Next slide. Now we are open to questions. Thanks.
Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Linville.
I have a couple of questions. I apologize if I missed it. What is the federal listing for these guys and gals?
So they're in a status of the Fish and Wildlife Service decided they listing may be warranted. And so a decision on their listing is expected fairly soon.
And my second question is just out of curiosity. How are you surveying for these guys? Obviously there's some mist netting going on because I saw your photos had, you know, everybody had bands on. And the reason I asked that is, can you identify by song between the subspecies?
I don't know that they can be identified by song. Identifying by the subspecies would be a kind of a timing issue. It would be after the migrants have gone through the Great Basin subspecies, and ones that remain to breed would be this Oregon Vesper Sparrow. As far as survey techniques, I know transects and point counts were used by Bob Altman. The banding that you saw, there is some of that going on by Center for Lands Management on Joint Base, but those photos were probably taken in Oregon by Bob Altman, who's been engaged in an intensive research project for several years. And there's an additional one by the Klamath Bird Conservancy down in southwestern Oregon.
Commissioners, we do have a couple of public commenters on this issue. Do you want to hear from them before you make additional comments, or do you want to speak now? Kim and Lorna.
Mine's a question for Derek.
Go ahead, please.
So Derek, you touched quite a bit on this, but we've been looking at a number of the prairie species, the Oregon butterfly, I can't remember which it was, the street corn lark, the Mazama gopher, and now the Oregon Vesper Sparrow. Certainly the Great Basin Sparrow, Vesper Sparrow, and our horned lark here are pretty conspecific. As you noted, the Vesper Sparrow tends to be a little bit more edge, needs perches. But in our populations in Washington, of the streaked hornlark and Oregon vesper sparrow are so small, I imagine there's not a lot of conspecificity in co-location because they're just small populations. But in other parts of the range, do we see a lot of co-location of the two species, and how much overlap in the recovery are we going to be able to accomplish for the different species?
So there's there would be a great deal of overlap in with the other prairie species. So, you know, there wouldn't be a lot of additional effect on land management. As far as co-location, I don't think there's any overlap with other subspecies during the breeding season. During the wintering, there probably would be mixed flocks to some extent. Not sure of that or how much work has been done on the wintering ground. But during the breeding season, there's almost none, except early in the late in the migration period.
Commissioner Smith, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I just wondered if we had a feel for the extirpated populations. I'm specifically thinking of over around Dungeness, where there seems to be still a fair amount of habitat. With, you know, that's my own eyes and observations of similar species. Is predation a bigger role, or is habitat loss with these extirpations, or do we know that?
We don't know for sure. I suspect that the extirpations of the northern populations are actually reflect a decline in the core populations. That is a pattern, a source sink pattern is often reflected in grassland species, where the outlier smaller peripheral populations are kind of sink populations that are dependent on recruits from the core populations. And so if you get a decrease in the surplus recruitment for the core populations, then you don't have a surplus that are looking and searching for habitat, and so you lose that those outlying populations. And there's pretty strong site fidelity. So once they wink out, it can be a long time before there's any recolonization.
Taylor, you had did you want to speak? I see your hands up.
Yeah, I just wanted to provide some additional detail for Commissioner Linville.
Okay, go ahead, please, and then we'll go to open public to public comment on this issue.
Yeah, and just a note that it's on the Federal Fish and Wildlife Service Work Plan for fiscal year 23.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay, Nikki, we have two people.
That's who I have registered, but I don't have any hands up yet. So we'll now take public comment from attendees. As a reminder, everyone gets 3 minutes. If you're pre-registered, you still need to raise your hand for the item you wish to give comment on. Everyone's currently muted, so if you have a question, raise your hand. Use the raise hand button that appears under your name. Or if you're on the phone, please press *9 and wait till you've been unmuted. All right. We've got Elizabeth Roderick. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Hi. Hello. I'm Elizabeth Roderick, and I'm representing 1,300 members of Black Hills Audubon in Thurston, Mason, and Lewis County. I'm a certified wildlife biologist and retiree of the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And I just want to emphasize that the Oregon Vesper Sparrow is one of many at-risk animal and plant species associated with our Western Washington grasslands and prairies. And at, this is a state and global ecological system of concern. Our organization, Black Hills Audubon, has worked for 20 years with other organizations to preserve the remaining 10% of the Puget Prairies. And we're emphasizing protecting the larger size areas with connectivity to increase ecological viability. The Thurston County draft prairie HCP has been mentioned, but it's only one tool for conservation and will not ensure the recovery of endangered species. This will actually take concerted effort by WDFW and partners. The Oregon Vesper Sparrow has been a candidate for over 20 years, and the listing is long overdue. The Washington State listing will send an important message to the federal government and to Joint Base Lewis-McChord that this subspecies is in extreme distress and that WDFW is serious about collaboration on recovery. And that's all. I just want to thank staff for excellent compilation of best available science, and we support the recommendation for endangered status. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for your comments. Nikki, next, please.
I don't have anybody else.
Okay. Were you planning, Derek and Taylor, to bring forward, I mean, we have a recommendation. Are you going to bring forward the language or something at the next meeting, or what was your what was your thoughts on that issue?
That's correct. I think the vote would be for next meeting in February.
Okay. Any questions from the commission regarding that? Thank you, gentlemen, for your briefing today. We look forward to seeing you next time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.